lovelies. Welcome to another episode of the Sacred Cocoon Podcast. This is Lottie and I will be your host. So today what I would like to talk to you all about is etiquette for readings. And this is going to go both ways. So it's going to be some things to keep in mind if you're the reader and also some things to keep in mind if you're the seeker or the person that is getting the reading. I hope this will be helpful. I think sometimes some of the things that can make readings feel frustrating, either from the point of view of the person who's getting the reading or the point of view of the person doing the reading, is that there sometimes isn't a very clearly established idea of what's the best way to do things. And so I think sometimes things happen and it's like, whoa, that was really frustrating, or like, I wish it could have been better, you know, in this way or that way. And it's like we have these kind of feelings, but we don't really know how to make them into reality. We don't even really know what we're asking for, you know. So I really wanted to like sit down today and talk about this, because I have to say, honestly, as a reader, there are some things that happen that are really frustrating as the reader, and it's usually not the fault of the person getting the reading, you know. They're not like intentionally being difficult or anything. It's just that there's certain things that would make a reading smoother and things like that. And I know from the perspective of people getting the reading and from what I've observed too with people, is there's certain things that seem to make for more of a, you know, comfortable reading or a better reading or a more satisfying reading, and there's certain things that kind of make a reading sometimes feel less satisfying or just not as good. So I wanted to go into it from both perspectives today and try and help you all out a little bit on how to make the reading the best for yourself that you can, specifically today focusing on etiquette and things that you should know and things that I recommend and, you know, all that kind of thing. So before we get into it, I've gotten used to doing my little thing in the beginning where I just talk to you guys, you know, and just tell you what's going on. So I'm going to do that first. I did the Crystal Bridges Halloween at the Hollow event on Saturday night, and it was an experience. Yeah, to be honest, I didn't really super enjoy it. I met some really nice people, and had some regulars actually come in, and a couple people that had seen me like once or twice before come in. So it was really nice. I got to connect to some really nice people. And then I'm going to go into one thing that happened that is going to kind of inform this episode, which was not so nice, but we'll go into it anyway. Yeah, parties, at least in the style that we did it, not really my thing. It was absolutely chock-a-block, jam-packed the whole time. We had three readers and then one person doing Reiki, and I'm not sure for the Reiki, because I honestly was like in reading mode all night pretty much, but we never really got down the line. It was like every time one person had their reading and left, like three more people turned up, and I was like, oh, it never ends. I mean, I know why the readings were free, you know. It's like if you'd bought a ticket you could get a reading and it was free, and it kind of goes against my own personal thing now of doing free readings. I really, really don't like doing free readings. And if you've listened to other episodes, you probably have, you know, heard me talk about why I think you should charge money as a professional reader, why I don't think you should do free readings. I need to go back and check if I've actually done an episode or like really focused in on the free reading thing specifically, but anyway, it goes against my thing, really. I don't like to do it because I don't think the readings, like, I think if you get a free reading, a lot of the time, it doesn't have that much of an impact, it seems to be. It doesn't really strike home as much as, like, a paid reading does, and, yeah, it's just, I don't know. They're just not as good, I don't think. From either side, I don't think the person gets as much from it, and I don't think the reader gets, you know, as much from it. It wasn't that we weren't paid at all. You know, we were paid to do the event, but to be completely honest, how much I made over 3 hours of just hectic, incredibly stressful reading was not enough for me to do it, you know? It's like, I looked at it at the end of the night and I was like, that's not enough for me. Like, I'm gonna have to either do this way different next time, or I'm gonna have to not do it in this style, because it's just, it's really stressful, it's really loud, it's, you have to go really quick. Like, the amount of time you could really spend on one person was like 5 minutes, you know, and that's not enough for a really good reading either. Oh, it's just difficult. And I just always want to be open about things and really honest about things and show you guys, you know, behind the scenes. I think, you know, being a tarot reader, being a psychic reader, you know, whatever kind of reader, it's very steeped in mystery and very, you know, people don't generally know kind of maybe what goes on behind the scenes for us, and I think a lot of people keep that on purpose to keep the mystique or whatever. And I understand that, but at the same time, I kind of think it ends up, like, not really helping us to do that, so I like to, I'm not really into that. I'm not really a mysterious person, don't think, anyway, and I want to demystify things, you know, not demystify, not remystify. So, yeah, I don't know that I'll ever do that again. Like a big party. I mean, it was interesting, it was an experience, and it's like I know I can do it, you know, but I already knew I could do it, so that didn't really give me anything new that I didn't already think I could do. Yeah, I don't know, not really my thing, not my cup of tea. Anyway, so that was a thing that was done, and it took me a couple of days to like get back to feeling human. On Sunday I just didn't feel like I was in my body at all. But I did stay with some friends overnight because we got finished reading super late, so I stayed with some friends, and that was really, really nice. So Kayla and Kent, if you're listening to this, I really, really appreciate your hospitality and kindness. They let me like stay at their place, and they sat up with me when I got back and talked to me and let me like decompress, and you know, we did some like, we cleansed all the energy, and it was just, it helped me a lot. And then the next day we all went out for breakfast together, and I got to sleep in really late, and it was just really nice. Like, that was what I needed. I think if I hadn't had that, I don't know what state I would have been in. But yeah, just thank goodness for good friends, right? I love my friends so much, and they mean so much to me, and I always feel like I'm going to cry a little bit when I talk about friends. Yeah, it's just special to me. Anyway, I appreciate that part of it, and I appreciate having had the experience, you know. I'm glad that I was invited to do it, and I feel really happy that I was able to do it, and I did get to meet some super nice people, and you know, did some really good readings that I think were important to do and important for the people that got them. So it's not to say that a free reading can't, you know, hit the mark or can't be good, but just overall, it's not quite my thing. It's not, it doesn't play to my strengths at all, you know. It's like, I mean, even just my physical things of getting tired easily and not being able to hear very well, and my voice is really quiet, apparently. I'm told this often. People tell me I have a really quiet voice, and my wife is always like, your voice is so small and sweet, and I just have a little voice. And it's just, you can't have a small voice in a loud atmosphere. You kind of have to, you know, shout. And if you can project your voice, that's great. It doesn't really bother. You know, it's easier if you learn how to project your voice properly. But I don't know how to do that because I'm not trained in it at all. So I end up, like, not having any voice, and my throat hurts, and, you know, all of that stuff. But anyway, I'm going to get past that now because it's done. It's done. I did it. Yay. What else do I have to tell you? Oh, yeah, we went out, not related to that at all, but we went out on, what night was it? I don't remember even what night it was. Friday, I guess it was Friday night, with some friends. We all dressed up in like our Halloween costumes, and Pip and I are this year Aziraphale and Crowley from the Good Omens, borrowing heavily from the Good Omens show because it's amazing and I love it. And me and Pip both have a huge crush on Michael Sheen, so that's nice. I love David Tennant, but he's just very soft and sweet and pure, and I don't know what it is about Michael Sheen, but he's just, there's just something. I just like him very much. He's very good. so you can see our outfits on Instagram if you go check it out on the Sacred Cocoon. Yeah, we're doing it again, I think, for Halloween night, maybe, on Thursday. Yeah, I've got a couple things that I want to tweak. This is 10 minutes in. I hope y'all are interested in this. Just skip it if you're not. But, yeah, I want to... So, for the hair, I got a wig that's, like, white blonde. But the problem is, because my hair is really dark... It was just really difficult to get, like, to not show my hair, and I was really struggling with it. So what I ended up doing was, because I couldn't get it quite right, was I just sprayed my hair silver, of course. it's this, like, colour spray stuff that you can get and you can put in your hair. And I saw a lot of people online saying that they didn't really like it. It made their hair feel really, like, difficult. It didn't make my hair feel bad at all. Like, it comes off on everything. So it's, like, silver metallic all over everything. If you touch it. But I just didn't touch it, you know, a lot during the night. And, like, didn't really rest my head on things a lot. And it was fine. But I put hairspray on to try and fix it to my hair and not have it rub off on things. And that didn't really work. It still rubbed off, but then it felt not great. Like, I don't know about you, but hairspray to me feels really gross. Like, I really don't like it. Maybe it's like I'm using the too hard hold kind of stuff, but anyway, whatever. So my hair was like metallic silver. And you know, if you look at Aziraphale, he dresses basically like a librarian, especially if you're doing like a femme version. Like, I basically looked kind of like a librarian, I think. And I had the bow tie. I really liked the outfit, how it came together, actually. But people kept thinking I was just old. I'm like, yeah, I'm not old. I'm Aziraphale. So I think when we go out again, I'm just going to try and fix the blonde wig. As much as I can, and try and, like, fiddle with my hair, and try and figure it out. I just want to figure it out. I think if we do it again, because we're thinking of having this as, like, a costume for, if we go to, like, cons and stuff, then I'll probably get a lace front wig. hopefully that'll help. Because it's like, I could dye my hair for it. I have had blonde hair before, but... My hair grows really, really fast, and my hair is so dark, so that's an issue with the roots. And then the other thing is to get it light enough, because his hair, at least in the show, is like white blonde, so it's like, to get it that light, I'm pretty sure it would damage my hair pretty bad. So, I don't know, I think I'm slightly past the age, at least for myself, where I'm like cool to just dye my hair constantly, because I used to do that and it wasn't a problem, you know. But I'm like, I'm nearly 30, and I just, not that you can't be 30 or older and have like brightly colored hair or white blonde hair or whatever, but like for me it's more the upkeep, and I'm just, the older I get, the lazier I get, I guess. And so I'm just like, I don't know, I guess I could dye it, I don't know, we'll see. If it comes up next year or something that we go and do a bunch of cons, is it? I probably will do it, just because it'll be easier, I guess, in the long run. But I don't know, I'll just try and figure out a way to do wigs for now. but yeah, it was super fun, and like, one person, so we went out and a whole thing happened, and we didn't actually get to be out, and we just went back to our friend's house and played games instead, which was way more fun in the end, so that's fine. But one person recognized us in the short time that we were out, so we just felt really happy at that. I just really wanted someone to know who we were. and they did, so that was good. But anyway, yeah, tomorrow we have a dinner at a friend's house, and then on Halloween night, I think we are gonna hopefully go out. Pip isn't feeling very well right now. She's like trying to fight off a cold, so it's like, if that's not better, then we probably won't, but we'll see. Anyway, let's get into the actual episode, shall we? So etiquette and just general tips on how to make your reading good from an atmosphere point of view. So I'm going to start with, I'm actually going to start with tips for readers rather than tips for querents, because I don't think a lot of people really talk about this. So, and it seems obvious, but I've heard quite a few stories from different people about different readers, just saying that, like, the demeanor or the manner of the reader is what made the reading not good. Not that the information wasn't good, but that the way the reader put it or came across was what made the person feel not good. And it's like, you don't want to be doing that to your clients, or at least I really hope that you don't want to be doing that. You know, to me, it's like, if someone comes to me and they're being respectful and they're being nice and, you know, they're there to genuinely get help for something, it's like, I don't want to make them feel bad. I don't want to make them feel bad for asking for help, because we don't need more people to tell us that we're, you know, we shouldn't ask for help. That's like a chronic social thing, and I hate that. And it's like, I should be doing my absolute best to make that person feel comfortable and good. And I don't know, I get protective. I get very protective of clients, whether they're someone that I'm seeing or just potentially. Even it's like, you should treat your clients well, you know. So if you're a reader, here's some things to think about when you're doing a reading. The first thing is read the room. Read their body language, because a lot of people, when they come for a reading, are quite nervous. You know, more and more people are getting readings, but a lot of people have never done it before. A lot of people have never had a reading before. And so think about, you know, put yourself in their shoes and think about if you've never had a reading before and you don't know that much about tarot, or you don't know that much about psychic stuff, you know, you don't really know a lot about it, you're a layperson. What would it take to get you to do this thing that you've never done before, and you're going to go talk to a complete stranger? You know, what would that take? What position would you have to be in? You probably have something going on that you really need some help with, you know, and it might not be like we could, I guess, consider like a huge thing, like, oh, I, you know, I'm trying to think of an example now, even. You know, it might not be like, oh, I'm moving house tomorrow and what do I need to do? And, you know, I guess that's a weird example. But, you know, it might be something like, well, I'm in love with this person, but they don't treat me very well, so what should I do, you know? But you obviously, if you end up in a situation where you need a reading and you're going to go for a reading, you're probably, you know, putting your heart on your sleeve, you're really putting yourself out there, and it's scary and you're nervous because you've never done it. You know, what do you want when you walk into that room? What do you want when you meet that reader? You probably don't want someone who sat there across the table from you and is completely stone-faced and, you know, doing all the, oh, I'm so mysterious and kind of holier than thou. And it's like, I've heard a lot of this, and it just makes me mad for the client, because it's like, that's not a good reader. That's not someone who is, like, really trying to, like, read you and put you at ease. You know, reading is not just putting down the cards or getting the information from, you know, spirit or whatever and giving them the reading. Reading is, as soon as you meet that person, you need to be looking at what is their body language, how are they feeling, you know, what's going on for them, how are they coming across, and to try and be very compassionate towards them. If they're a little shy, they're a little nervous, they might be a little bit awkward if they're kind of nervous, you know, it's like, that happens. It doesn't mean that they're a bad person, and it doesn't mean that you're a better person just because you don't get nervous. You know, it's like, if you do this all the time, or even if you're just at a point where you can read for other people, then you're a lot more comfortable with it than someone who's never done it before and has no idea what it's about, you know. You might get some of those questions of, like, how does this work? Or, you know, is there anything, you know, is it wrong to do this? You know, you might need to kind of make people feel a little bit more at ease and more comfortable before you actually do the reading. So, you know, try and remember that reading is not just reading the cards. It's not just doing the reading, finger crossed. It's the whole thing. And when I meet people, I'm quite a shy person naturally, and I can be, I feel anyway, at least a little bit awkward sometimes when I'm just interacting at large. But like, if I know that person is wanting a reading, you know, I'm gonna turn on the I won't say turn on the charm, it sounds a little weird, but I'm going to really, like, do my best to make them feel at ease, and smile at them, and be friendly, and be nice, you know, just be nice. You don't have to be mysterious. Like, you don't have to sit there in, like, a, either literally or figuratively in the, like, smoke-filled room and have it be all, like, they can't see you properly. And it's, like, that's a, that really old stereotype. And I think, you know, people coming for readings sometimes expect that. But I kind of think that sometimes readers kind of tend to hold, it's like, we should be doing that. And I just really don't like that, you know? So read their body language and see how they're coming across. Another thing to do with that is don't get defensive if someone comes across as being a little bit brash or a little bit, like, you know, try and think of it. Like, if you find that you feel like someone is being rude, try to read it and see where it's actually coming from. Because I find that readers, at least in my experience, tend to be very sensitive, but they also tend to be people that can kind of get offended easily or kind of get hurt easily and think that someone is, like, making fun of them or, like, they're being rude on purpose. And it's like, sometimes, yeah, and I'm going to go into that, and that's not cool, but sometimes people are just, it's kind of just how they are. Like, I have some clients who they're very, very forthright, and they'll just, anything that comes to mind they want to ask, you know, during their reading, they'll just ask straight out. They're not really, you know, trying to sugarcoat it. They're quite blunt, but they're actually, they're really nice people. It's just that they have a very forthright way of talking, and I've watched other people interact with that same client, and I can tell that they're getting kind of defensive about them, and it's like they're not attacking you. They're trying to get information, that's all. You know, if you're doing a reading and the reading is coming from a genuine place, which, you know, I would hope that it is if you're doing it professionally, then you don't have anything to worry about if they're asking you questions and you just are trying to answer them as best you can. Because those type of people, I think they can come across as intimidating because they're very to the point and they will ask you anything that's on their mind. But if you don't know something or you genuinely can't pick it up, you know, and you try and you can't do it, you can tell them. Usually those kind of people, they just want you to tell them straight to their face, like, this is what I'm getting, or I'm not getting anything on this, and it's fine. So you kind of just have to, you know, if that happens, try and read it and be like, where's this actually coming from? Like, are they actually being rude? Are they actually trying to, you know, kind of rub me the wrong way? Or are they doing this on purpose? Or is it just that they're a very blunt person, or they are not, they don't know, or they didn't notice that they're acting kind of, you know, that way. Because there's definitely a difference. People that are just quite blunt, I know not everyone likes that. And I mean, I'm British, you know, we get our feelings hurt so easily. But, you know, I can usually tell if someone is trying to do that or not, and try and be more forgiving if they're not, you know. The other thing for as a reader, try to expand what you're comfortable with in terms of how you read, because people like different styles of readings, and you're probably going to get different people who will ask you to do it in different ways. So an example of this is that when I first started, I would shuffle the cards for everyone, and I would pull the cards, and then I would read it for people. And I can read like that. That's how I read, you know. I read long distance. I read from home the rest of the time. Excuse me. The rest of the time, and it's completely fine. There's not an issue there. But when you're reading face-to-face with someone, quite often they think that there's something that they should be pulling the cards, or they should be shuffling them, you know, or whatever. And when I first started, I had one person in particular be like, well, it's not my reading if I don't shuffle it, you know. And at the time, it kind of, like, threw me off. But then when I thought about it, I thought, yeah, that's actually, I can understand why you think that. It's not necessarily true, but I understand why you think that and why it gives the person a better experience if you let them shuffle the cards, deal the cards, be hands-on about it. Let them touch the deck. Let them touch the whatever it is, the tool that you're using, you know. Whether or not it actually makes a big difference, it doesn't really matter. It's more in that case down to the feeling of someone feeling like it's they're really involved with it and it's good reading. And ultimately, they're paying you for it, so let them do it. You know, there's some people that they don't want to touch the cards. That's fine. Don't, you know, don't get upset if they don't want to touch them. You know, and you do it for them. That's fine. Some people really want to touch the cards. They want to do it. Let them do it. Some people will ask you if you can do it without cards. Can you get anything? Can you pick up anything about me without the cards? You know, just be very honest about this. If you don't like to do it like that, or it's not comfortable for you, you know, or whatever, tell them that. Say, oh no, really, I use the cards because that's part of my method, and here's how I use the cards. You know, I get the information through the cards and then I read them, or I get information from the cards and then I also get psychic information coming through, like, in my head or whatever, which is how I do it. And so I use the cards as a jumping off point. I really deliver a better reading if I have the cards. You can explain that to them. And if they don't want to do it then, and they're kind of pushing you, then feel free to say, well, this isn't really going to work. I'm not the right reader for you, you know, because I can't do it in the way that you want me to do it. Some people don't want you to use tools. And if you use tools and they don't want you to use tools, you're basically incompatible. It's not going to work. And they might be willing to try it with tools and you might be willing to try it without and see how that goes. But, like, ultimately, if it's just not a good fit, don't be afraid to say no. This is something that's really important to know. If you accept every single person that comes to you, regardless of if they make you uncomfortable or not in any way, and I'm not talking about stretching your ability and that being stepping out of your comfort zone, I'm talking about if you really feel genuinely uncomfortable, if you accept them anyway, that comes from a scarcity mindset. Because basically what is happening then is you're saying, it's more important for me to get this person and get their approval or get their money, whatever, than it is for me to feel comfortable. You know, you're coming at it from a mindset of, because if I don't, I'm not going to get more people. I'm not going to get more money. People aren't going to like me, you know, whatever it is. And it's like, you need to change that mindset. You shouldn't be saying yes to every single person, I don't think. You know, hypothetically, at least, you might not really get anyone that you feel like you shouldn't say yes to or you should say no to, but that's different than just wholesale saying yes to every single person, or continuing. You might start a reading and it's really not working. That's when you should say, this isn't working, I'm going to stop now. You know, I'm not going to charge you, but we're going to stop, we're not going to do anymore. Don't be afraid to say no. Not every single person is going to be a good fit for you. And I also think if we continue to try and just battle through a reading that is not working, it's not satisfying anyway. The person getting it doesn't like it. The person doing it doesn't like it. And you can feel that in the room. You know, a reading where either person or both of them is not liking it just doesn't work. It just feels weird. So don't be afraid to say no if you need to. But try and stretch a little bit how you do it. You know, try and do it in different ways. And if you don't like it, that's fine. You know, and if there's certain things that you just hate doing, don't do it. You know, if, like, for you, like, not using your cards is just the absolute no, I'm not going to do that, then don't do it. But I'm just saying, you're probably going to be challenged a little bit outside of what you might have done in the past once you start meeting lots of different people who have different ideas and things. Another thing, kind of going back to what I was saying before, try not to get offended if people ask you questions that you think are really obvious or kind of silly, you know, because a lot of the time people are actually really self-conscious that they're being silly and they're kind of scared to ask you something silly. And if you make them feel like they're an idiot for asking you that, they're going to shut down and that's going to make it really hard to read them. So if someone asks you, well, how does tarot work? You might have been reading tarot for years and years, and you know, you think you know everything there is to know about tarot, and how dare this person not know anything? It's like, well, they might not know, you know, and it doesn't take that much time to just say, well, here's what tarot is. It's a form of divination, and it's connecting with, you know, spirit, or it's connecting with the universe, or whatever, to bring through information, and why don't we try it and see what you think, you know? demonstrating tarot is always going to be better than trying to explain tarot, I think, because there's certain things about it that you just can't explain. It's kind of inexplicable, you know, and then you see it and that's the magic. Like, you read it, they see it and they go, whoa, that's so accurate. Oh my goodness, how does that work? It's like, I honestly, I can't tell you exactly how it works, but that's the magic of it, you know. But, you know, if they're asking you, well, what's the difference between this and this? Well, what is this? Or, like, misconceptions even. Like, I talked about misconceptions either last week or the week before. And there are misconceptions. And, yeah, they can get frustrating. But the person asking them probably isn't doing that out of badness. They probably just don't know. And they're asking you. So they want to know what the truth is. You know, just tell them. Don't be kind of hoity-toity about it and like, I'm better than you because I know this. You know, you're not better than that person. Just try and remember that. That's something that I try to not actively even think about, but just remember, like, this is a person sitting with me and I'm also a person, and neither one of us is better or worse than the other one. We're just two people doing something together right now. You know, you're not better than them, they're not better than you. You don't push them and be weird to them. Don't let them push you and be weird to you. Just boundaries. Human boundaries is important. What else about getting a reading? Oh, here's a big one. If you can at all manage it, please try and go into your reading on your own, by yourself. A lot of people want to bring someone with them, like a spouse, a friend, you know, whatever. And I completely understand that, especially if you've never had a reading before and it's a little scary and you don't, you know, you want moral support. But here's the thing. Please try and go into it. Oh no, wait, that's for someone else. Anyway, I'm just gonna go into this and I'll try and remember it again afterwards. But you know, if you bring someone else into the reading, here's the thing. Sometimes things come up in a reading that are very private and sensitive. And it's not that you don't want to share that with your friend or you don't want to share it with your spouse, you know. But there might be things that come up that you don't just want someone else to tell your spouse or your friend or whatever. You want to tell them. You want to be in control of it, you know. And so coming in on your own means that we haven't just got whatever random information going to another person. You get to tell them when you're ready and how you want to. And also sometimes, especially something like a relationship reading, if you're coming in with your spouse, but what you want to really ask about is, I'm having some issues in my relationship, please don't bring that spouse with you, because it's so awkward for the reader and the spouse, you know, because the reader is wanting to tell you something and they might need to tell you something like, that person's being kind of selfish and you need to stand up to them, you know, and or like, you know, well, I'm seeing, are you having some kind of complicated feelings here? And let's delve into that. If you come in with someone else, you kind of limit how deeply the reading can go. Or if not, you're kind of putting it out there that your reader might say something that's kind of uncomfortable in front of someone else that you would be okay if it was you on your own. So I always recommend to have people come in on their own if they can. But as the reader, be prepared that sometimes people aren't going to want to do that. They're going to want to bring someone in. So try your absolute best to have tact when you're doing the reading. And this, to me, whenever I hear this, I'm like, well, this sounds so obvious. But, like, the amount of people I've had tell me, like, the reader just was blurted something out that was so sensitive and did it in such a kind of callous way. And I'm like, how? How did they do that? Not that I don't believe them, but more like, how did they not know to try and make it more, you know, not as harsh? Like, just try and be aware of what you're telling the person and how you're telling them it. You know, it's like, if you're seeing that they're having issues in their marriage and you just come out and say something like, oh, well, I see you're having problems with each other and you're like fighting and, well, it's not going well, is it? It's like, that's so rude. If someone said that to me, I would be so upset as the person getting the reading. Please don't do that. Like, try and, you know, you can give the same message in such a nicer way than that, or much, that's so grammatically not right. You know, such a you can be a lot more gentle with it. You could say, well, you know, this card and this here is showing me that maybe there's some things going on. Maybe you guys are having some difficulty communicating, or there's a little bit of conflict going on right now, you know, and maybe it's coming from this, and you're worried about this, and they're worried about this, and it's getting miscommunicated. You're saying the same thing. Literally, that's the same message in two completely different ways. So as the reader, please try to be kind when you're delivering a message. And if you're... So this is where I struggle, because for me, when I get messages, I'm hearing it from the person's guides, and a person's guides will always be loving towards them. You know, they might be a kind of guide who's going to kick your butt a little bit and say, hey, listen, you know, but they're not going to do it in a horrible, nasty way. A guide's intention is never to be hurtful or mean to the person that they're helping. So you really shouldn't be delivering a message in a mean, hurtful way. But some people apparently are just really blunt when they deliver the message, and it's like, maybe just don't do that. Try and tone it down a bit. Try and be kind about it. You know, if you're a very forthright person and that's your style of reading, then you don't have to make it completely different. You still need it to be you, because that's why people come to you. But you can still be kind rather than being blunt, really super blunt about it and kind of rude about it, you know? Like, think about how it's coming across and be like, am I being a butt or am I being okay? Right? So there's that. Yeah, be prepared that, well, for one, you should be doing that regardless of whether someone is in the room with the seeker or it's just you and them. But especially if they're with someone, try and find a way to give the message that is not kind of confrontational or embarrassing. That, I think, just takes time to just watch people and kind of learn how to do that. But I do think, you know, you can practice it too. What else is there? Oh, time. Be very vigilant about time. And you should, as the reader, you're responsible for the time. The person getting the reading is not responsible to watch the clock. They're not responsible to keep on time. They're not responsible to stop when the time is over. That's your job, okay? So what I do is I have a timer on my phone, and it's a little chime bell thing. It's just very sweet, and it's not an aggressive alarm or anything, but I set a timer. And when we start the reading, I say, I'm going to get my timer ready. I'm starting my timer now. We're doing 20 minutes. You know, this is a charge reading. It's $1 per minute, etc., etc. When you get to the end, they will hear the chime, but you have to be the one to say, okay, well, we're done now. You know, start, like, don't start wrapping up when the timer goes off. Wrap up before that. And then when the timer goes off, you're ready. But, you know, be, like, closing up with that. It's not their job to keep on time, and people will sometimes try and go over the time. I don't think they're doing it because they're being rude. They just want to ask more, you know. You have to be responsible to say, we can go further into this, but it is going to be another, you know, dollar per minute for however long over we go, you know, or whatever. But you're responsible for making sure that you keep the boundaries of time. You can't kind of go, okay, well, we did 20 minutes, but yeah, I fudged it and I let you have that extra 10 minutes and now I'm mad because you took that extra 10 minutes. That's not their job. It's your job to keep them on time. And, you know, you can also just be very wary of your limits and be aware if you're going over them. I found that, because for me, I find it hard to say, well, we're done, you know. I struggle with that. So I've done things to make sure that I do it properly. But if I'm like, well, I feel bad, I'll just let them have that extra 10 minutes. Like, that's not on them to, like, pay me for that. You know, if I say, well, we did 30 minutes, but I'm just going to charge you 20, they just owe me $20. You know, it's like, they don't have any, there's nothing to say that they have to pay me that extra. People usually will, because they're super nice and they want to, but, you know, don't count on it. And it's really not their, you know, they didn't do anything wrong if they don't, basically. You have to be the one to keep on time with things and be very firm about time, you know. it takes practice, I found for myself, and I still fudge it sometimes. Sometimes I mess up, so I'm like, well, I don't really want to charge you extra, so I'm just gonna say it's, you know, I'm gonna fudge the time a bit. And then it's like, well, then you have to decide, you know, if you went 5 minutes over but it was the only person you did it that day, then maybe it's fine. If you went 5 minutes over with five people, you've lost quite a bit of money, and that's kind of a boundary thing that you need to look at, you know. So be aware of that as well. Just stay aware of your time and keep your boundaries. Be firm on boundaries. You can still be kind and nice whilst having clear boundaries of this is how we work, and if you don't want to respect that, those boundaries, that's fine, but we can't work together, you know. It's not, you don't respect my boundaries, okay, well then I'll just like whatever, you know. Don't do that, because then people aren't gonna kind of respect the boundaries because they know they can change. That's a human thing. People push, and if they can push it, they'll keep pushing it. It's not them being evil, it's them being human. You know, so it's like you have to be the one to be firm on your boundaries and say, this is what my boundary is. I don't do free readings. I charge for my time. This is what we do. This is the type of readings I will not do. This is the type of readings that I will do, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So just be aware of that. Okay, so we've gone 40 minutes already. So I'm going to go to the ad break. And then when we come back, I'm going to talk about it from the perspective of if you're getting a reading, what to be aware of and good etiquette and all of that. All right. Basically the same thing, but just for people who are coming for a reading. So if you're getting a reading, this is for you. Some things to keep in mind. Okay, I'm gonna start with the story about the thing that happened, because I did mention it earlier and I don't want to be, you know, salacious or whatever. But so here's what happened to me the other night that I didn't like, at the Halloween thing. And I want to actually point out here, there was drink involved at that party. People were allowed to drink. They could have drinks. And by, you know, you start at 9, you end at 12. Towards 12, you're going to get some people who have had a lot to drink, okay? So here's the thing. I'm not going to get that deep into it, but I have a lot of trauma from different points, even starting from when I was young, of people being drunk. So I have a lot of fear and nervousness around people being drunk, and I knew that going in. I was like, people are going to probably be drunk at this thing, probably going to make me feel uncomfortable. Oh well, you know, I did it. No, not okay for me. Anyway, that's me going over a boundary, which I just talked about as the reader, that you need to be aware of your boundaries. I knew people were going to have had a drink, and that I don't like to read for people when they've been drinking or if they're, you know, on drugs or whatever. And I'm not saying that that's not a moral thing. I'm not here to tell you that you shouldn't drink. You shouldn't do drugs. You know, that's not my job to tell you that. And I'm not interested in shaming anyone or, you know, saying this is morally bad or whatever. But I don't think that being on anything that is changing the way that you're thinking gives the best reading, because for one, it makes you quite hard to read because your energy is different. For two, you're not able to take in the best information. You know, if you think about it, if you're drunk, like how much are you going to remember of that? So yeah, from both sides, it's not great. You're probably not going to remember a lot of it. You're not going to be acting like yourself, and energetically you don't feel like you either. You might be kind of raucous when you're drunk, but be a really nice person, you know, like, and not to say that people that are, there's the difference between being a little rowdy and being, like, you know, inappropriate when you're drunk, I know that, but, like, you might, either way, being a little rowdy can still not be great for a reading, and I know that, so I shouldn't have done it, but anyway, Well, just to say, it was towards the end of the night, so it's probably, 11:30 or so, maybe a little later even. And this couple came up to me, and they were in their Halloween costumes, which is fine. Everyone was in their Halloween costumes. I literally did a reading at one point for two girls that were dressed in full, decked out, like, plague doctor gear. And the masks were really cool. Like, they went all out with the masks and everything. And actually, I was a little like, how the hell am I going to do this? But I could hear them fine through the mask, so it wasn't a problem. They were super nice. So it's whatever. Wear your costumes. I don't care. And this couple... I'm not going to go into it, what they were wearing, but anyway, they were wearing a couple's costume, and they were, from a movie. So, one of them sits down, and I'm doing the reading for them, and then the other one, and it's a man, you're going to put it out there, so it was a man, was purposefully trying to be creepy. It's like he was trying to be the person that he was dressed up as, basically. So what he was doing was, the person was that I was actually trying to read for was sat across from me at the table, and the other guy was, like, stood there, like, leering over the table, and basically, like, leaning really close over the table, and kind of, like, tilting his head to be really creepy. And then during the reading, he would keep interrupting me and say, hey, can I ask you a question? And then try and ask, I don't really understand it, but, like, it's like he was trying to ask a question in character. So, like, it was really creepy questions, And it really threw me off. And I could tell that's what he was trying to do. He's trying to freak me out. Because he'd had a drink and he thought he was being cool or whatever, It's like, please don't do that. Like, I get that you're trying to creep me out or whatever. I don't really understand why. Like, why are you having a reading if you obviously don't really care? I don't know. It was very much one of those, it's a party, I'm going to see this as just, it's some stupid thing, And I didn't say anything. I just kind of laughed it off and then kept going. But it was really difficult to read because he was freaking me out. Like, at one point he asked me a question and I was like, I feel like you're going to stab me. Like, I literally feel like you're going to hurt me. And that's not a cool feeling to have, Was he going to do it? No, most likely not. He was just trying to be creepy. But it didn't mean that he wasn't creepy wearing this friggin' mask that was, like, really just... And it's like, I've been doing this all night, my dude. Like, I really don't need you to do this to me right now, okay? So that's the thing. If you're going for a reading, please don't try to freak out your reader or, like, be intentionally creepy or intentionally weird. I honestly don't understand why people do this. I kind of get it more if it's free and there's nothing to lose, but I especially don't get it if you're paying for it. But I don't know. I've never had someone do this to me. So, other than that. So I don't really know. But just be yourself, okay? Don't try and put on a mask. Don't try and, literal or otherwise. Don't try to be cool. Don't try to hide things. Don't try to be, I'm so, like, awesome. And just be you, If you're coming for a reading, you're going to be paying for it. That's my rule. And so make it, don't just throw $20 down the drain just so you can be, creep out the reader or whatever. And this is the same for if you're, like, testing. Like, sometimes people will come for a reading and it's like they're testing you and it's just really uncomfortable because they're not actually, what I get is, like, if you're testing someone, you're not actually really there to, like, try to listen to what they're telling you. You're trying to catch them out. So you're focused on, I'm going to catch you out and prove you wrong. Why? Why are you spending $20 on that, Go read a book about debunking psychics if that's what you think is true. Because here's the thing, you might be making me feel kind of uncomfortable if you're trying to trick me into something, and that is uncomfortable, and I don't like that. But ultimately, it's really just a waste of your money. Because whether or not it's a good reading for you or not, if we come in and you're just trying to test me and I say, even if I say, I'm not really sure about this, and you keep going because you want to keep testing me, you're the one that just wasted $20. I got $20 out of that. Like, it didn't really, it's like you wasted your time and money. You're not wasting my time and money as the reader. So even if you're trying to catch someone out, I don't think anyone listening to this would ever be that kind of person. But just go into open, see what happens. you can be skeptical or you like, you know, sometimes people will say that to me and they're kind of apologetic. They're like, well, I'm kind of skeptical, you know, sorry. And it's like, that's fine. You don't, you can be skeptical. It's as long as you're being polite, I don't care. You know, it's not bothering me. You being skeptical is not going to make me any worse or better at reading. I'm just reading because that's how I do, you know, that's, I can read. I don't need you to tell me that I can read or not. And you can tell me that I can read or not, and it's not really going to change how I read or what I can do. So, you know, when you, pardon me, when you do that, it's just, it's not, I don't get it. I don't get it. Try and go into the reading and be open to it, you know. Be skeptical if you want to. You can leave the reading thinking that, well, that didn't really, you know, prove it to me, but I'm glad I tried. That's, I'm still going to charge you, but, like, you know, that's fine. But, like, don't go in there trying to prove them wrong or trying to, you know, don't, just, please don't be rude. Like, as the reader, I'm trying not, you know, I'm, not that I'm trying not to be rude to you, because I don't think I'm actually a particularly rude person, but, like, I'm putting on my best self for you, and I'm, you know, wanting to be accommodating and help you, so please try and do the same back. Please try and be respectful to me, and, you know, you can ask questions, that's fine, you're paying for that, that's part of it, but just try not to be, like, purposely trying to be creepy or trying to catch someone out, because it's just, I just don't understand why you would do it. That's the main one. What else? If you can, try and go into the reading with an idea of what you want the reading to be about. So, some people would do a general reading, and I do have what I call a general reading, which is especially good if you've never had a reading before, you don't really know how it works. But try not to sit there with the reader and go, well, I don't really know what I want to know about, so just tell me whatever, because that's not going to make a good reading. And I explain it to people like this. If you don't give me anything to focus on, you know, you could, like, we could focus on what's the next few months looking like, what's coming up in career, you know, something like that. It doesn't have to be super specific. But if you don't give me any indication of what you want me to look at all, what's going to happen is the cards are just going to be basically reaching into the void that is your energy and just pulling whatever out and putting it on the table. And I can read it. And it might be, you know, true and technically accurate. That usually is what happens. But it's probably not satisfying. You know, it might be like, here's what could happen. Just tell me whatever. Whatever comes up. Okay, well, I can see here that you had a bit of a fight at work this past month. And so we had some conflict going on there. But, oh, it seems like it's resolving now. So that's, you know, that's good. We're moving past it. Right now... I can see maybe you're struggling with a little bit of some pain here. Like, do you get headaches? Yes, I get headaches. Well, you know, maybe go to the doctor about that. Oh, and then coming into something else, the last thing I'm getting here is, don't forget. Oh, there's something important, some kind of family event coming up. Like, don't forget to, you know, don't forget to go. Does that make sense? Oh yeah, that's my mom's birthday. Great, that's a technically accurate reading. Is it satisfying? Probably not, because you already knew about all that stuff. It's not very deep. It's not really about you in terms of what you might need help with or guidance with, but it's still true. Do you see what I mean? So here's what you could do different than that. Okay, been a role playing with myself here. But hey, I've never had a reading before, so I don't really know how it works. Could you explain it to me? Me as me. Okay, that's fine, you know, nothing scary. So the best way to do tarot is if you have something to focus on. So it can be something specific, like if you're going through something in your relationship, or, you know, what's coming up for me in the next few months, or what do I need to know about my job or something. But if none of those strike your fancy, we could look more at, you know, what's coming up generally for this next few months, like I just said, or for the next year, or something to be aware of right now. You know, does any of that sound good to you? Me as the person. Yeah, okay, so I kind of just want to look at what's going on right now and maybe for the next couple of months. Can we do that? Me as me. Yeah, sure, let's do that. Then we go into the reading. That's enough focus, okay? You don't have to have some in-depth, super deep, serious question. It doesn't have to be that, but it does need some kind of focus. Because if it doesn't, it tends to do what I said before, and it's technically accurate, but it's not really useful, and it's not really satisfying. And you shouldn't have to pay money for something that isn't satisfying. But if you're taking the time and you're booking a session, it's kind of on you to give the person something to look at, you know. You still need to pay them, even if you had a reading that's technically accurate, but not really super satisfying, because you couldn't give enough direction. So that is something to be aware of. What else can I say? As the person getting the reading. Oh, okay. You need to try and make your question be about you. And sometimes you might want to ask a question that your reader is going to turn around and say, actually, I can't read about that. Or, that question isn't really going to work. How about we do it this way instead? And they're going to help you come up with something else. Because there's certain things that readings don't really work very well for. And then there's certain things that certain readers, or most readers even, will not want to read about. So, for example, if someone came in to me and said, is my wife going to die? I would say, I can't read about that. You know, for one, I will not really be shown death in that sense. And for two, it's really not right to me to, I don't know when I'm going to die. You know, it's like, I don't get that information and I can't give it to you. So, you know, maybe instead of that, well, why are you worried about your wife? You know, is she sick? Like, what's going on? And maybe we can look into why you are worried about that, you know, and then we could look at that. Or that someone might just say, I really can't read about that. I need you to give me a completely different question, you know, not related to, some people won't read about health at all. For me, I always give that proviso of, you know, I'm not a doctor, and if you are having health concerns and problems, you really need to go and see a doctor. But if you want to talk about it, you know, if you're having some anxiety about your health, or you just want to see what's going on, with the proviso that if something is coming up, either in the cards or you're feeling concerned about something, you really need to go and see the doctor. But, you know, we can do a reading. Just, this isn't, I'm not responsible for what you do with that information. You need to go and see someone about it. If you're at all concerned about anything, you need to go and see. And you also need to have checkups, you know. But if someone's just a little kind of, well, what's coming up in my general well-being, I'm happy to look at that, you know. But some people won't do that. And then for things like legal stuff and all that kind of thing too, if it's like, how is this case gonna go, you know, all that, I really, really don't like doing that, because again, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a doctor, and you really need to be putting that kind of thing in those people's hands, you know. So you need to be aware that there are some questions that you might want to ask that the reader cannot read. Either because they don't want to, or because they're not being given the information. For me, if someone's asking a question and it's not something that they can know, the guides and the cards just won't give me an answer. I won't be able to answer it. It's not because I'm holding it back. It's because it's been determined that you don't need that information for whatever reason, or you don't need it from me, you know? So that does happen sometimes. The other thing is, you need to make your question be about you and be about something that's useful for you. And here's why. If you come in and you're, you know, I'm in love with this person, but they don't really like seem to pay that much attention to me, and how can I make them pay attention to me, and like, what is going on with them, and what are they thinking, and what are they doing? That's not about you. Like, you're thinking about what they're thinking about you, but it's not focused in you, and it's not empowering to you. Because here's the thing. They just might not be romantically interested in you. They might not be in a place in their life where they want to have a romantic relationship. They might have all sorts of other things going on. They're too stressed. They're just, for whatever reason, they might not want to be in the relationship. If you keep focusing on someone else and not on yourself, it's not empowering to you. And it really sucks, because I hate having to say to people, I don't think it's going to happen right now, or possibly it might not ever happen. This isn't the right person for you. But I will have to say that if I have to, if that's the truth, you know. A much better thing to do is focus it on you and have it be like, who's the best, who would be a good fit for me? And let's look at personality and like drawing that person into you, like drawing that kind of energy of, this is the kind of relationship, this is like the kind of person that you would resonate with. I really don't like doing readings to say this is your specific one person, because I don't believe in that anyway, so it goes against what I personally believe. And it's just, I just hate that. It's like, there's one person? No. There's, you could be compatible with a bunch of different people. Like, let's figure out what kind of person is a good fit for you so that you can draw that kind of person to you and have that kind of relationship that you want to have, you know? I really don't buy into the thing of that there's one person for everyone and that's it. Because that, then, even that is like, it doesn't take into account the fact that there's a whole spectrum, you know? What if you're asexual? What if you're, you know, polyamorous? You know, there might be, it's just, it's very confined to, like, the monogamous, like, thing, and I just, that's not my thing, you know, so I don't like doing it like that, and I just don't believe that that's a thing, that you have one person in your entire life, and that's it. Some people believe that, that's fine, really not trying to upset you if you're listening, but I just don't like to do that, and I just don't find it that helpful in a reading. Anyway, even if there is that one person, right, trying to figure out exactly who they are and where they're going to be on Tuesday the 26th of September in 2020, so you can go there and try to run into them, like, it's just so unlikely, and it's just, it's so confining, like, I don't know, it's to me, I would much rather focus on helping you attract, you know, someone with those same qualities. It could be that still that specific person. If, think of it this way, if there is that one specific person for you and I'm helping you figure out how to draw that type of person to you, you're still going to draw that person to you, because if you're, you know, think of it, soulmates and you're meant to be together, then you're going to be together. That's not down to me to decide. But, like, I can help you to get there in a way that's better for you. Like, this is a big thing with love, especially. You cannot go at it as trying to make yourself perfect for someone else, or trying to fit someone else, or trying to make someone fit you. Relationships don't work like that. Relationships are a back and forth between people who are your different people, and you're, you know, making something work. You're a partnership, but you're two different people. You can't fit them perfectly in trying to fit with them, and you can't make them fit to you. Both people have to just naturally fit. It has to be a natural thing, and you have to grow together. I think if you're trying to fit to someone perfectly from the get-go and you want them to fit you perfectly, how boring is that? Like, where's that gonna go? If there's no growth, where is it going, you know? It's like, I think relationships are about growing. So you're never going to be that 100% they love every single tiny little thing, you know, about me. I've found when you're in a relationship with someone, you don't love them because they don't have anything about themselves that's, you know, finger quotes, a flaw or whatever. Like, you love them including that part of themselves. Like, I'm super messy, you know, like, and I try to be neat, or neater, but I'm naturally a messy person. If I tried to date someone who was a completely had to have it clean all the time, I would drive them just up the wall, like, they just could, probably couldn't be with me, right? And I could try to make myself be naturally tidy and neat, and you definitely can work on that, but I'm just naturally, not, that's just something about me that, for whatever reason, I'm naturally kind of a messy person. Or, you know, so it's just not going to work. And even if I manage to, like, make myself be different, it's going to feel really unnatural, and I'm probably going to slip sometimes, and then there's going to be fights, and it's like, just don't do it to yourself. Don't try and be something that you're not. Love and being in a relationship is about loving that person completely, including all those things about them. And, you know, you can see it as like, oh, yeah, they're kind of a little messy or whatever, you know, but aha, it's kind of cute, you know. It's not that, like, sometimes you're not probably going to get annoyed that I'm messy, and you're like, for goodness sake, please, like, pick up the, put the plate in the kitchen or whatever, you know. But, like, ultimately, it shouldn't be that, like, that drives you absolutely bats as well, that I'm just, you know, that kind of messy. So does that make sense? If you're trying to fit yourself to someone else, or you're trying to fit them to you, or find someone that fits you absolutely to the T, it's not really going to work. And so a reading like that, people will read, do those readings, but I kind of think that's taking advantage a little bit, or at least from how I understand it, or feel about it anyway. It's so much more productive to look at it as in, you know, what about yourself do you really like? What about yourself do you maybe not like so much? Where you need to love yourself more, or, you know, work on that confidence. And, like, what's the kind of person that makes you feel good? Who do you feel good around? What do you need? You know, if I was dating someone that was extremely extroverted, I would probably find that really difficult, because I'm not naturally extroverted. So I want to, you know, say I'm this hypothetical person, I need to be drawing in someone who matches my level of, you know, introversion, but then I probably also need someone who pulls me out of my shell a little bit, which is Pip, by the way. So you see what I mean? And you'll find the right person, and then you have to go into it too, and this sometimes can get a little bit into coaching, for the reader, to be like, you don't need to make yourself be different for someone else. You know, we're all working on things, and we all have things to work on. So yeah, work on yourself, but you don't need to be making yourself be completely different for someone. We need to find someone who's a good match for you and a good fit for you as you, who you are, and that you're a good fit for them, who they are, you know, and kind of work at it from that. So to go back to the original point, just be aware that sometimes you might have a question and either the reader won't want to read on that, for their own, you know, ethics or whatever, and to protect themselves and you, to be honest, you know, because if you come to me and say, I want to do a reading and I want to know if I have this health condition, and I read and say, no, you don't have it, and then you'd go home and go, oh, yeah, well, I don't have that, and then you go to the doctor 3 months later and now it's gonna kill you, you know, you could turn around and say, well, this person told me not, and then it's the whole legal thing. So it's just to protect both sides from not being misinformed, making sure you're taking care of yourself, and just protecting everyone involved. But so they might have an issue with the question from that point of view, or they might try and help you tweak the question to be something that's gonna get you a better result. Because ultimately, as the reader, we want you to have a good reading. Why wouldn't we want you to have a good reading? You know, you're paying for it. And if you're getting a reading and you don't think that the person cares that you get a good reading, then don't go to that person. Like, there's plenty of readers out there. You know, try an online reading if there's no one else even around you physically. But trust me, you don't have to go to someone that doesn't make you feel good. But you also need to be flexible in terms of the question, and you need to have some kind of direction. What else from the querents, from the seekers' side? Try to be open. So this is kind of talking about what I was talking about before, but if you really don't believe in it, or, you know, you're in a bad mood that day or whatever, just don't go for a reading that day, because it makes you almost impossible to read, and you're not going to get a good reading. So we're going back to that again. But, you know, you're still taking that reader's time and their energy to try and read for you. If you know you're not in a good headspace to have that reading, or you don't believe in it, or whatever, just please don't do it. Don't, like I said earlier, don't waste your time and money, and don't kind of, you know, don't put that on the reader. That you don't have to believe in it, but you also are not required to be in that room. So, you know, if you're in that room, it is, you do need to be respectful to the person reading for you. If you're not emotionally in a place, you know, to have a reading too, if you're really stressed, you're really angry, you're really upset, whatever, you know, think about coming back another day. either don't go in for the session, or if it's pre, you know, you've booked it, let them know. Try and let them know ahead of time as much as you can. You know, but just, it's going to be so much better if you go in when you feel that you're ready to receive the reading. Also, if you're sick, you know, it's so much better, I find, if you're sick and you're not feeling it, to postpone it or reschedule whatever, than to go in feeling ill, because you're probably not also going to take it in that well, because you're not feeling well. And also, some readers will just pick up on the energy that you don't feel well, and then that will kind of throw off the reading a little bit. For certain people, that will matter more than others. You know, they'll pick up on it more than others. Like, I work with a couple people that they can tell how someone feels when they walk in the door, and if you feel sick, they're going to pick up on how you feel physically, and they won't be able to read anything other than that, so you won't get a good reading there. Obviously, that's at your own discretion, but you're just going to get a lot better reading if you're able to be open and like receiving the reading, you know. What else is there? Is there anything else that I can think of? I don't know. I actually can't think of anything else right now, I don't think. So I'm going to leave it at that. I probably will, you know, if I think of other things, I'll try and do another episode at some point. But I hope that this is helpful to you all and useful. I try to put things out that are helpful and useful. okay, so one last thing, you know, before we go, I'm going to do my plug. Thank you so much to the people who have left reviews and 5-star ratings on Apple. Yeah. I'm not sure if you can do this through Spotify or other ways of finding podcasts, but I know if you look up, you know, podcast on the Apple podcast thing, you can leave a 5-star review. And the more 5-star reviews that a podcast has, the more people can discover it. It's recommended to more people. So I really appreciate the people that have done that for me so far. And I would love to ask you that if you enjoy this podcast, please do go and give it a review on iTunes. iTunes, that's what I was trying to think of. or wherever you can leave a review. You don't have to write anything. You can if you want to. But the 5 stars is what really matters, I think. Because then it gets more people can find it, and so I really, really appreciate that, and I would be so thankful if you would do that. Other than that, you know, you can come and see me. I'm back to my regular times now, so at the Four of Wands on Fridays and Saturdays, you can come and see me if you're in the area, so that's Fayetteville, Arkansas, or if you want to book a reading online, you're long distance from me, or, you know, whatever, we can do that through, either you can find me on Etsy, so that's thesacredcocoon.etsy.com, or you can find me on Instagram, The Sacred Cocoon, or on Facebook, The Sacred Cocoon, and you can message me privately through that, and we can set up a reading. I would love to read for you. If you have any suggestions, anything you'd like me to cover as well, please do drop me a line, let me know. I would love to hear your suggestions. If you just want to tell me how you're finding it, what you're enjoying, I would love to hear that. What else is there? I feel like there's something else. Oh yeah. So I have my new tarot and oracle deck coming out soon. I'm getting the prototype in probably in about a week. And I have now got a name for it. So it's the Go Beyond Tarot and Oracle. It's a major arcana and then oracle deck combined. So it's the 21 major arcana and then the, it's 22 cards, but it has the 4, right? And then the, you know what, I got so confused with that last week. Anyway, and then a 33 card oracle deck to go with it. So I'm really excited about that. I'll be showing more about that soon. You can also find my other decks, my oracle decks, in my Etsy shop, which is the Sacred Cocoon Oracle, my first deck, the Divine Portal Oracle, which is my second deck, and the Vitae Oracle, which is my third deck. Those are all available for purchase in the Etsy shop. And you can also find them at the Four of Wands if you're local as well. So they do sell them there as well. I think that's everything. And I have a cup of tea that's eyeing me up, so I want to go and drink it. Alright, so I'm sending you so much love. Thank you for being with me, as always. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week. and I will talk to you next week. Bye now.